bones hurt. Anyway, hello, welcome to Bunda Vista, episode 326. It's known as Michael Jordan's flu game, but according to Jordan's trainer, as quoted in Fan Nation, it's actually Michael Jackson's... Michael Jackson? What the
fuck? Michael Jackson's what Michael... game?
Michael Jordan's food poisoning game. Quote, so we order a pizza. They come to deliver it. Five guys come to deliver this pizza. I take the pizza and I tell them, quote, quote, I got a bad feeling about this, end in a quote. Out of everybody in the room, he, Jordan, was the only one who ate. Then 2 o'clock in the morning, I get a call to my room, end quote. What happened next was the stuff of legends. Michael Jordan, wearing the Chicago Bulls jersey, steps into the 1997 NBA Finals against Utah. He ends up scoring 38 points to claw home a 90-88 point victory, including a three-pointer with 25 seconds left on the clock. Wow. What incredible adversity. Just trying to read a script. What incredible adversity against the odds. I'm here, as always, with my co-hosts, Ben. Hey, buddy.
Hey, brother. What's up?
Yeah, not much. Just hanging out with my buds.
Yeah.
And Andrew.
Hey, bro.
Hey. How you going? And I am Theo as well. I usually put that in there somewhere. Hey. What's going on? Now, I'm still sweating through gastro.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Some parallels to be drawn here. Now, I had a coffee before lunch today, and I had to lie down for like 2 hours so I didn't throw up or pass out, which is bad for me because I need coffee to stay awake to do the job that I'm employed for. I'm not sure at any point in time whether my shirt should be on or off. And I'm about to do one of the hardest things an athlete like myself can do, host a podcast. But imagine, what if everybody on the Chicago Bulls team had diarrhea? Imagine how great their performance could have been. But we're already recording. How can we make this happen? Well, boys, got some bad news about that sumptuous prosciutto e funghi pizza pie you ate 35 minutes ago. Remember just before we started recording, Ben, you did that horrible wheezing fart, and you said, "Oopsie daisy, I've got a dookie tooter."
What are you doing?
remember that? I'm really sorry about that, but I'm to blame. And Andrew, you may either want to pour out that beer or get another one. I wrote that in the script, but Andrew's actually smoking weed.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Oh, no. Hey, okay. One thing I do know for certain, though, is that you, the listener, is in for a wild ride. And then, Ben, if you can edit in a big wet fart noise there in post, that would be great.
I'll see what I can do.
Like 15 to 30 seconds long?
Yeah, if you can. Now, you asked if I pull stretched mine. If you can pull stretch yours, that'd be wonderful.
They get a few weird harmonics in there
the
and stuff.
The weirder, the better, yeah.
Yeah.
You talk about like how people do that you're with the mouth of a balloon.
You're making a lot of notes there.
No, I'm sorry. So when you're playing on your phone while I'm talking to you, it's fine. But I doodle a few little guys on a piece of paper while I'm listening to you, and I'm in trouble all of a sudden.
Usually, when you are doodling on your pad, it means that something's getting cut.
No, I would never edit anything out of this podcast.
You edited out all of my advice where to find the cool swords in Dark Souls.
Well, yeah, but that's also true that I edited out the entire 12-minute segment that was a part of. It wasn't just the Dark Souls part.
Oh, what was that segment? What did we lose?
It was about the guy with all the samurai swords in his house, because about halfway through us doing that segment, seemingly all of us completely ran out of energy.
In the samurai segment.
Yeah, the start, the first half of the samurai swords was great, but I couldn't manage to stitch together the middle to the end without.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm usually filled with energy when thinking about samurai swords.
Yeah. So. I think it's once we reach the hour and 5 minute part that everyone just sort of dropped off.
Yeah, that's super late in the game. No, I do remember.
Yeah, we were trying to name like different sizes of swords, and we got to about three, and then everyone just fell silent. Yeah.
I would say that I got those three instantly. Didn't even have to think about it.
Yeah, but as a collective. Yeah. And then, we started wondering about the origins of the Uchigatana.
Yeah, that's right.
The rest was history.
Yeah, we could do the whole bit again.
Yeah, we might as well just reconvene. I can probably find that article.
Ben's just making some more notes on his pad here, Theo.
It's the only thing I've had to edit out of a podcast twice.
I am imagining, though, about all the Chicago Bulls players. Squirt, you know,
just, that's the plural. Just trailing Brown.
Chicago's Bulls.
The Chicago's Bulls.
Chicago's Bulls.
Whose Bulls? Chicago's Bulls.
Oh, boy.
They'd have that. So on and so forth.
You know the big mop they've got for the basketball court?
Yeah.
The big wide one for the sweat.
Yeah.
Oh, having a bad time wringing that out at the end of the evening. Oof.
I had to clean a bath today that was full of.
Yeah, I saw a photo of it on the internet.
I heard Caitlin go, "Noah, are you going to do a poo?" And then there was nothing. And then I assumed something happened with Finn at the other end of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And she ran down there and she ran back to Noah in the bath. And that's when I was called in.
Bring in the big guns.
Caitlin had thrown in a bath fizzer and everything. The water was just a beautiful deep blue.
That's a horrible combination.
It was full of toys, absolutely full of toys. I was worried that like I'd pour a turd out of the like submarine water jug. Fuck me. And the shit had like, it had absolutely been just demolished, just smashed into pieces by a joyful baby.
Jesus Christ.
I love Noah so much. Do you think
your two little guys are like coordinating? Coordinating attacks here.
They learn from behaviors. Three minutes into the bath, you break something at the other end of the house.
The minute she leaves the room, I engage my core.
We really, I really love all of our listeners. You know, even the ones that don't pay for the bonus episodes. I still think you guys are great. I just want you to know that the bonus episode that we just recorded about an hour and a half ago, we just got like a really sort of punchy, concise intro from Lucy and then bam, straight into the content. And then for the free one,
yeah,
we've gone into Diarrhea Tales Part 12.
I'm just going to read out just for the listener, if you're still there, if you're sticking around.
if you haven't just put your phone down on the beach and walked into the ocean.
Ben wrote a message in our group chat saying, "Theo, can you quickly write up an intro, something beautiful and poignant, yet also crass and irreverent." Now, as we often say on this show,
crass. Oh, I'm sorry, are you from London?
Here we fucking go. I've already got to deal with the conflicts with my Victorian wife about how she's saying bath and grass.
Yeah.
The fuck's going on there?
Mm-hmm. The paranoia you're getting from the weed you're smoking.
That's right. And so on. But but to the listener, look, we report, you decide if this is beautiful and poignant.
Yeah. It's about the limits of human ability. It's about the human spirit soaring on brown wings.
You've taken a sort of an interesting historical event and you've twisted it to add a new purpose.
Can you keep describing? I'm just getting a beer. You keep going.
Jesus. What is...
just gonna take out the first 10 minutes of this and start over.
Crass and irreverent.
Yeah. Yeah, so on and so forth. Yeah, what do you got there?
As quite often, I've got a Burley Mid-Tide.
Yeah. Yeah, they're still independent, Burley Brewing, so that's nice.
Sick.
Oh, I think I bought a beer that's not from an independent brewer.
What have you got?
Oh, this guy loves Carlton United.
Yeah, he loves macro breweries.
Who bought Mountain Goat?
I got some of them in there too.
Mountain Goat might be a Asahi now, I think.
Mountain Goat in this economy.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's the
Asahi,
the goat's very Asahi. Enjoyable beer.
Yeah. Oh, it's a perfectly good tasting beer. I'll give him that. It's just, you know, ruining the industry. Oh, he's taking his headphones off again and he's left.
Fuck. All right. We're pulling it back in. Pulling it back in. Fellas, we are tightening up our belts. Theo, not too much on yours. Yeah. You don't want to put any undue pressure. Your lower abdomen,
this beer.
You know, we're tightening up because we don't want to sound like a bunch of deranged freaks. When I want to hear from a deranged freak, I'll check in with a British person. And that's what we're going to do right now. Tabloid Phenomenon.
Fist-headed man destroys church.
Came so close to punching my beer off the table when that dropped back in. It's a good song.
Fucking song. I challenge you to tell me to my face that it's not. You've done it again, Robert Zombie, with your infectious rhythms.
I had to explain Rob Zombie to my kids the other day for some reason.
Now a kid's got to know about Rob Zombie.
That's exactly what Tucker Carlson was warning us about.
That was my whole problem because we pulled up at a traffic light on the way to school, and there's a sticker on the light pole, same light, traffic light pole that we pull up to every day. It's a sticker, think if you will, kind of the style of the Shepherd Fairey, Andre the Giant face, you know, kind of posterized looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Except it's the like Uncle Sid or whatever clown from House of a Thousand Corpses and all that jazz, you know, mm-hmm. that guy.
Yeah.
And one of the kids is like, who's that? And I went, fuck, here we go. Here we fucking go. It's time for you to learn about Dracula's Rob Zombie.
Yeah, you've got to learn about the monsters so that I can then tell you about Dracula's. And then I can tell you about a 50-something-year-old guy who's obsessed with the monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Who makes music that your grandma would find scary, but everyone else would be like, oh, this is just like a dude who loves like cheesy 60s horror stuff.
Yeah. The rules, yeah.
Yeah. He's kind of got white dreadlocks, sort of. But yeah. I think he maybe just doesn't brush his hair.
Loves putting his wife in a movie.
He loves his wife. What, Rob Zombie's biggest crime is that he loves his wife?
His biggest crime, miscasting his wife, just because he loves her so much.
What is Rob Zombie's biggest crime?
Rob Zombie cancelled 2023? Rob Zombie impropriety.
Rob Zombie crime. Hey Siri, look into Rob Zombie's crimes.
Rob Zombie is not satanic, even though most people believe he is.
Yeah.
I think Rob Zombie's fine.
He avoids all alcohol and drugs.
Well, I mean, he's toured repeatedly with Marilyn Manson, who's been accused of sexual assault. So that's not great.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Here's the Rob Zombie controversy. He was recounting in 1983, on his first night after moving to New York City, when he was 18 years old, him and his 7 roommates witnessed the unspeakably horrible and savage beating of a man by New York City Transit Police right outside his dorm room window. And then the guy died.
Oh, my goodness.
Jesus.
Rob Zombie witnessed a murder. Yeah. You think that's what gave him such a spooky countenance?
I think he doesn't like the Dracula because of the police murder that he saw.
Yeah.
I don't think those two are related.
From Wales Online. Louts who littered a state with half-eaten chocolate bars, unmasked.
Finally, get to the bottom of this.
The identity of litter louts who spent months blighting a housing estate with half-eaten chocolate has been revealed as greedy squirrels.
They were so close to killing some kids.
Yeah.
Like the Neighborhood Watch Association was like fucking seconds away from like hitting some teens with their car.
Moments away from doing a Harry Brown.
Yeah. What? Paranoid, miserable losers.
Who, the Harry Brown country. In the film Harry Brown?
No, the Michael population Caine? Of the United Kingdom.
Oh, yeah, them too. Locals living in Dudley Crescent in Ellesmere Port, Cheshire became gripped by the whodunit after Blue Riband.
Is it Blue Riband?
Glad it's not just me that's struggling with this. I was like, is this a really well-known chocolate bar brand that I'm just not aware of? English people shouting at their fucking podcast player right now.
It appears
to be a boat.
Pronounced Blue Riband.
There you go. That's fucking annoying.
If someone or something wins the blue ribbon in a competition, they win first prize. The prize is sometimes in the shape of a blue ribbon.
Jesus fucking Christ.
What are you fucking talking about?
No, it's the ribbon. It's blue. That's what ribboned. They're winning.
Definition, ribboned. A ribbon.
Fuck. This is not the way I wanted to.
Mandela and Dalit at the same time? In this reality...
It's called both. It's We've got a partial Mandela effect. Yeah.
Does anyone remember them being called blue ribbons? Fuck. Very derailed by the first paragraph.
Well, this is their fault for having something called that.
Jesus. The saga, dubbed Wafergate, was discussed daily on the estate WhatsApp group, with theories and accusations spreading through the community.
Yeah. Who are we throwing under the bus?
Yeah. I wonder who got accused.
Who are we throwing under the lorry?
Yeah, thank you. Yes. I'm going to say they probably started with Romanians, worked their way through to Poles.
Yeah. Bulgarians.
Muslims. Yeah.
Austro-Hungarians.
Yeah. Lithuanians.
Serbs.
Yeah.
Azerbaijan.
The mystery was finally solved after a local who works in a nearby caravan storage facility spotted dozens of blue ribbons inside a skip. Another resident then spotted squirrels running up a tree with wrappers and put two and two together.
Yeah, I feel like you could just take two in that part. You don't need the first part. You can just see the squirrel with the fucking... With the wrapper, and you work it out.
Yeah.
Local Fiona Downs, 33, a full-time mum, said,
"I first noticed all these wrappers back in September. We live on a private estate on an ex-RAF base. It's a very close-knit community. I was walking my children and suddenly noticed there's loads of blue ribboned wrappers everywhere. I posted a picture on our WhatsApp group asking people to please pick up their wrappers if they've been eating chocolate bars."
That's such a fucking stupid thing to say.
Yeah.
Like, everyone knows not to litter generally. You don't have to tell people, hey, specifically if you've been eating chocolate bars, please don't litter with your chocolate bars. Stupid.
Yeah.
Then you got to start clarifying about every other kind of
litter. Go through
every
single one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
No throwing away your squashies wrappers.
What the fuck is a squashy?
Oh, we learned all about this like 1 week ago.
Well, no, nothing.
You might not have been on.
That doesn't seem right. I'm on all these.
Squashies, Ben. Squashies.
Put all the notes in the thing. So
yeah, squishies.
Yeah.
Squishies. But no one fessed up. And over the following months, more wrappers and half-eaten chocolate bars continued to appear. They shouldn't have solved the mystery at the start of the article.
Yes.
Just in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm not really hooked into the mystery anymore.
I can't imagine the listeners hooked either.
It's like a...
they've hopped off the hook.
Well, there must be a reason why he included the entire article, sure.
We'll find out. I'm just saying, as far as the article goes, it's like showing you the monster in the first third of the horror movie. You know?
Yeah, great idea.
Yeah.
Then you can subvert expectations.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah.
Spotted him.
You actually see the street pole in the first 5 minutes of Hereditary.
Fiona said,
"It became a big topic among residents. Everyone was desperate to uncover the culprit. It was a big mystery. People were getting annoyed, thinking someone was just littering, while others thought, maybe it's the bin men." Suspicions were growing.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those
bin
swarthy
men.
Bin men.
Yeah. I never liked the look of them. Why are they always ugly rubbish?
Maybe it's like the ultimate taboo for the bin man.
It's to litter?
To put some rubbish back out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the ultimate thrill.
I'm meant to be picking this up, but supply. Instead...
Yeah.
Letting it go. What is...
It's an article.
Yeah, it's about rubbish.
I'm very confused about where I was at. because it seemed like a repeated paragraph down the bottom. I'm sorry. Men, make a little another note there.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works with making all the notes, because if you pull enough stuff out of the front of it, then the timestamps for later on don't really...
Well, that's why it's got to edit from the back.
I edit from the back, yeah.
Hey!
That is so sexy.
Yeah.
Oh, he edits from the back.
I edit from the back!
Sometimes I let my husband edit from the back!
All became clear on Tuesday, November the 21st, when a resident spotted the skip on a site just behind the estate with a box of... with a box of blue ribbons inside. Another resident, Natalie Clark, I wonder what she sounds like.
English woman from literally anywhere in England between the ages of 18 and 110. Could sound like anything.
She managed to snap pictures of squirrels scurrying up a tree, chocolate in mouth. Fiona said,
"Squirrels have clearly been in there and stolen them all. We don't know where their stash is, but there was definitely some kind of box of the chocolate bars in a skip. It only took 3 months to work out."
You'd think they'd run out of chocolate.
Wait. So the squirrels have been in there and stolen them all. We don't know where their stash is, but there was some kind of box of chocolate in there. So they reckon the squirrels have taken the chocolate to a second location.
Yeah.
They've moved the stash out. And then taken them out to eat them and then leave the rubbish around.
Do you reckon squirrels can eat chocolate?
Well, apparently. Oh. I don't know if it's good for them.
You guys ever seen like a really fat squirrel? You ever seen those photos of a big fucking fat squirrel getting around?
Yeah.
Surely they're dumpster diving or eating pizza crusts or whatever, right?
Or they're ratatouilleing. It could be like a ratatouille situation as well, where they're making hamburgers at a Sonic drive-in. And they've got a 17-year-old line cook, and they're pulling his hair and making big double hamburgers.
Yeah, he's making those ones that they put on like Insider or whatever, you know?
I guess it'd be kind of like a Scratatouille situation. You guys remember the beloved Scratatouille intro?
I do remember Scratatouille, man.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of positive feedback about the famous Scratatouille intro. Sort of up there in the pantheon with the I'm a Train intro, the Scratatouille intro.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
same breath, kind of.
Yeah, usually. Yeah. I keep coming back to this podcast because of the other I'm a Train intro, and also to the exact same extent, the Scratatouille intro.
Yeah. When I meet somebody who recognizes me or my voice from the show, and they sort of start the conversation by saying, "Did you write the Scratatouille intro?" And I say, "No, I'm Andrew, actually." And then their face just kind of falls.
Yeah.
They stick around for the conversation, but I feel like they're kind of doing it more for me than for themselves.
They want to make you feel recognized. Yeah.
Maybe you've got a line to the guy that did do the Scratatouille.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you don't want to.
We can all hang out.
Don't want to burn that bridge. Yeah. You know? Full-time mum Natalie, 42, said,
"We spent months finding these rappers. We all got a bit obsessed and we were trying to hunt people down."
Yeah.
Machete in hand.
Fucking Christ.
"We were trying to work out who buys wafers from Aldi before we realized the squirrels were doing it."
Are you fucking kidding me? You're like stalking the Aldi to find the culprit so you can what? Kill them?
Trying to figure out, going down to the Aldi and like just kind of milling about, asking the staff, anyone seem like they're buying a lot of wafers?
Fucking Sam Spade style, sliding like a $10 note across the counter and being like, word on the street is someone's been laying down a lot of cheddar for some Aldi chocolate bars.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
the guy that did the theme song for James Bond?
That's right.
Sam Spade, Detective Sam Spade. It's one of the famous pulp noir detectives.
Who did the theme for James Bond?
No idea.
"When I saw them, I was like, oh my God, I finally found proof. The sheer volume of the bars, honestly, they must be going through 100 of them a week."
I don't understand how many chocolate bars there possibly could have been here.
Yeah.
They're talking about this box.
So 3 months, 100 a week, 1,200 chocolates.
I don't believe that. I don't think that there was, like, why, how many are in a box? How many are in a box? How many would there, maybe this was just hyperbole on her part, but she sort of considered her words in light of the fact that perhaps an Australian podcast would be discussing it at some point.
Yeah. Well,
that's all I'm trying to say.
Be precise in your speech.
Fiona said, once somebody posted pictures of squirrels, it took the excitement away.
Ooh, just like I said.
Then it seemed to calm down and we thought they might have finished their supply, but in the past few days, lots of the wrappers have been appearing again. We're not sure why the chocolate was left on our property. Maybe it was an out-of-date box.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Almost certainly, in fact.
Yeah.
Sounds
we
like
report, you decide.
Sounds like the squirrels are eating trash. So they figured out, they've figured it out, but they've never found the skip. They said it was in a skip.
I don't know what's going on at this point.
Fiona added that the whole saga has been, quote,
a good bit of fun.
She said,
it's become a huge joke with everyone and we've all had a good laugh. I'd like to know how a squirrel opens a chocolate bar. They probably won't be able to walk now due to putting on so much weight.
They're all going to die.
That's funny to me. A British sicko.
I'm normal by British standards.
My friends and family all agree.
But since the discovery of the true culprits, residents say the furry thieves have doubled down and are on a chocolate rampage. Oh, Theo's shirt's come off.
Yeah, it's hot in here.
Just noticed. Natalie said,
they've ramped it up even more since we found out. Every day I'm picking up wrappers out of rose bushes. It's been hilarious working it out.
Yeah, that's funny.
I love this. It's very funny when, like, animals are kind of forced to scavenge and stuff, and then they're like part of the pollution cycle that we all
yeah
survive.
And they're all very sick as well now, probably.
Yeah,
but you know, they all joke about it now. The joke is mostly, remember those squirrels, and then they just sort of laugh for a bit. And this is sort of the normal news story that you would get in the United Kingdom, whereas the normal news story that you get in the United States tends to be a little different. It's time for the clipping report.
I'm in a fucking edition of the clipping report.
Great gunshot sounds in that too.
Yeah,
fantastic great sample.
Whap. Yeah. You gotta look through a lot of free YouTube samples.
Sure do.
To find the one you like.
It really feels bad typing free something sound effect into YouTube. It feels tawdry somehow.
Well, I like it. I actually type it into Google. It just happens that YouTube is usually one of the first results, you know?
Yeah. Well, with how the internet is.
Yeah.
Nowadays, yeah.
Just in case this is your first episode, I'm sorry. So sorry. Yeah. The clipping report is where we look at reports of 99% non-fatal accidental gun discharges in the United States. Here we go. That have happened last week, I should say. A 36-year-old man outside Ellisville, Mississippi, was pulling a hunting rifle out of a cupboard when the .380 handgun underneath it discharged. The bullet, quote, entered the bridge of his nose and exited the top left side of his forehead.
God damn.
That's like a good curve.
Yeah. It's not great.
Well, I'm not commenting on that.
Well done.
Hey, nice shot.
Yeah, hey man, nice shot.
Remember that's when a you shot yourself in the head?
Curve.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like from that movie Wanted, based on a graphic novel of possibly the same name.
Well, things in there doing a hook turn.
Yeah. A police officer in Topanga, California, accidentally fired a round into a fridge while preparing his handgun for a training session.
Did the fridge survive?
Fridge is okay, miraculously. A 79-year-old man in Jones County, Mississippi. This is actually quite close to the one that happened in Ellisville, I think. Also, there were two others in the region in Mississippi this week as well, but those were fatal and depressing. A 79-year-old in Jones County, Mississippi, was cleaning out a 16-gauge shotgun in preparation for selling it when he fired it at his concrete floor, causing birdshot pellets to ricochet into the face of his 79-year-old wife.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He's birdshot his wife.
You got to be embarrassed if you Dick Cheney your wife, right?
Yeah. He said he looked down the barrel twice before he did this and that he was absolutely certain it was clear. But his wife's face disagrees.
So is it, I assume a 16-gauge shotgun is bigger than a 12-gauge shotgun.
No.
Right?
You dumb motherfucker. You are the Bunta Vista idiot of the week.
Oh, no.
Play the theme.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just looking at this this table of which kind
you think
of
this guy's
gauge.
Like absolutely packing. He's just got bunker killer.
Does this guy have a fucking blunderbuss in his house?
Oh, you know? He's got the god murderer.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
The unique item.
A woman dining at a Longhorn Steakhouse in Goldsboro, North Carolina, was shot in the thigh when another patron dropped his handgun on the floor, causing it to discharge.
Butterfingers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if it's going to happen somewhere.
Yeah. He ran as well. Like, dropped the gun discharged, got her in the thigh, and he's like, ooh.
I can't go back to jail.
Oh, yeah. My Uber's arriving. Oh, he's here.
Run away from that situation.
Yeah. It's time to hit the bricks. Everyone's yelling at me. A 57-year-old man in Jonesboro, Arkansas, was, quote, at the intersection of Kate and Bridge collecting pecans.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Normal American man.
Regular American pastime. When he adjusted his gun in its holster, which caused it to discharge into his leg.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no, my pecans.
How many of these people, do you think any of these people are like, that's probably it for me and guns this?
Or
do you think they're
the
100% just like, wow, that really teaches me that I need to be more disciplined with my gun?
It's probably that one. They're probably like, holy fuck, there were shots fired while I was collecting pecans.
I have to
keep my gun with me.
Safe with guns if you're not handling guns 24/7.
Do you see that thing going around? I don't know, it was a couple of weeks ago. It was just like a screenshot from a fucking gun forum where people were like, accidental gun discharges are like a sign of good firearm ownership because it means you're always handling your guns.
Yeah, that's just not great logic to me.
No, it's wrong.
Personally.
Yeah.
Getting bitten by a gator, it's a good sign. It means that you are touching enough gators to get good at handling gators.
Always be handling your gators.
When you see one, just get in there.
Yeah. Handle a gator. Finally, a 60-year-old off-duty Chicago police officer shot himself in the thigh when his firearm accidentally discharged while he was in a Starbucks bathroom.
Oopsie doopsie. There's always one in the crapper letting off.
It took us a while, but we got the crapper.
Yeah.
We got the crapper shot.
Yeah.
Why is there one in the chamber?
Yeah. Always one in the chamber because he's got one in the chamber because he's shitting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's taking his pants off and he's going, whoop, butterfingers, pow, ah. Now, riddle me this.
Mm-hmm.
You finish wiping? You finish doing the shit before you get the, before you're like, paramedics, please?
Yeah. Well, I'm waddling around.
I'm waiting and getting the paramedics to do it for me.
Yeah.
Ow.
I can't reach back. Oh, when I try and reach back there, it hurts.
You wouldn't put an unwiped man into an ambulance, would you?
My butt's still super dookie, though. Okay.
Make sure it's really clean. That could get into my bullet hole.
Do you think the human body would, like, do you a favor and sort of snip off the turf for you? And just be like, oh, you know what? This guy does not have time to shit. I'm just going to wrap things
we're
up.
We're done
here.
On this one.
Yeah. Are you suggesting, Ben, like a fart or flight kind of reaction? Snip. It slams closed.
Yes.
You know?
The remainder of the turd gets sucked 3 hours back up the bow.
The clock gets reset.
You can see you got a lot on.
This I'm going to give you 2 extra hours.
This can wait.
Get you to the hospital. Get a bedpan underneath you. You'll be fine.
You can do whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Like slamming shut with so much force. Absolutely clean, you know?
Yeah.
It goes so fast that it cauterizes the end of the turd as it's pushed away.
Or is it the opposite? Are they voiding themselves?
I think you're probably voiding yourself. If you got shot, I think the shock that your body goes through would probably just clean out the rest of whatever was in the chamber.
It's like in 40K when someone first encounters a psychic voice in their head. They're very clear that person is usually shitting their pants.
Was that something Ian Watson wrote? Because he loved to write about shit and people shitting themselves.
No, this is still, what's his name? The guy that wrote all the good ones, apart from Ian Watson.
Oh, yeah. Like the guy that wrote the Eisenhorn ones and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever his name is. The good one.
Good one. Dan Abnett.
Loved
to write about people shitting themselves.
Man. Well, it's a grim dark.
It's a grim dark. Yeah, grim dark, grim dookie.
Yeah.
It's hard to be happy when you've shat yourself, you know?
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. These accidental shootings are happening all over America, and they could be happening in Connecticut. It's time for Connecticut Watch.
Connecticut Watch. Connecticut Watch.
Who's getting shot and is it in the crotch? Check out bigsofttitty.png.
That's right.
This is from... Oh, that's our segment, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's Debbie singing one of ours.
It's Debbie singing Celebrity Watch.
Fuck, I have been trying to find celebrity news stories that are bad, and it's really hard. People only write celebrity stories that are good, mostly. Huh. What a beautiful theme, though. Fuck, she's good. Love you, Debbie. This is from WVIT in Connecticut.
The VIT.
That's right. State police warn of potential street takeover in Shelton.
Okay.
Connecticut State Police are warning residents about a potential street takeover in Shelton on Saturday night. Troopers said a street takeover event is anticipated on Research Drive around 8 p.m. This time, local, federal, and state agencies are actively monitoring and investigating. Wow, that's pretty crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, nuts. Here we go. From WVIT in Connecticut, 500 vehicles from multiple states traveled to Shelton for attempted street takeover.
Okay.
Hundreds of vehicles from multiple states traveled to Shelton for an attempted street takeover over the weekend. Shelton police learned about a street takeover that was planned on Research Drive on Saturday. Officers from other departments, including Derby, Milford, Orange, and Trumbull, troopers from Connecticut State Police, and federal officials mobilized along the Bridgeport Avenue corridor. There were also officers on Research Drive. According to police, approximately 500 vehicles arrived in Shelton around 8 p.m. Some of the vehicles traveled from New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and Vermont for the event. When the vehicles arrived at business parking lots on Research Drive, they were turned away. The group then attempted to plan alternative parking lots to gather in along Bridgeport Avenue through social media.
If there's one thing our state doesn't want, it's people coming here and gathering.
That's right. No, gathering in Connecticut. Not on my watch.
Stick your ass to Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Maybe some other places want to welcome you in and hope that you stimulate the local economy, but so not us.
I'll keep reading. We'll figure it out from context clues, I think.
All right.
Officers said police were able to disperse the vehicles at the other parking lots before they could assemble a group. The group of vehicles then left Shelton and traveled to Derby, North Haven, and Orange before returning to Shelton. The officers from each department traveled to their towns with the vehicles and dispersed them all. Several infractions were issued to drivers and some vehicles were towed. No arrests were made in Shelton. Pretty crazy. Here's another one.
Just chasing these cats away. Like, yeah, that's right. Get out of here.
From WVIT in Connecticut, over 1,500 vehicles participating in street takeover closed busy area in North Haven.
Hell yeah.
Over 1,000 vehicles were participating in a street takeover. Over 1,000 vehicles that were participating in a street takeover closed down a busy area in North Haven on Saturday night. Police said over 1,500 vehicles arrived on Universal Drive to participate in a street takeover around 8 p.m. The vehicles were reportedly from multiple states. According to police, there were spectators lining Universal Drive to watch while the busy road was shut down and holiday shoppers were stuck in parking lots with no way to leave. Both directions of Interstate 91 were also backed up for over a mile. Officers from multiple departments, including Meriden, Wallingford, Hamden, West Haven, Branford, and troopers from Connecticut State Police helped North Haven Police during the incident. According to police, there were also several calls on Universal Drive that were difficult to respond to during the incident. The calls reportedly included a medical emergency and an assault. The investigation is ongoing.
You know, we often find ourselves sitting around thinking, I bet the future is going to look a lot like Mad Max.
Yeah.
You know, except in this case, I didn't expect that we would have like a really significant stopover in The Fast and the Furious.
Yes.
Before we got there.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I think for a while there, I was like, yeah, I think that's kind of it for, you know, the car modding and street racing culture and stuff on a big level. And the last half of a long has shown me to be very wrong about that. People are still way into that shit. Bigger than ever.
I think it's very cool to be a young man and have a cool car and do cool car shit. Probably even for young ladies and non-binary people these days. It's probably changed to allow that. This one is also from WVIT. String of street takeovers in Connecticut leads to call for change.
Hey.
Cut that out.
Less of this.
Knock it off. There are calls for more to be done to prevent so-called street takeovers. There was a string of them over the weekend in several communities. And one in Milford left an officer hurt. Officers responded after about 150 cars gathered in the parking lot of a grocery store on Bridgeport Avenue on Saturday. During this, authorities say people set off fireworks in the direction of a police cruiser, jumped on it, and then punched and threw something at an officer. The officer was hospitalized with minor injuries and later released. These, you know, really are bringing in people to observe them from all over the region, said Kenneth Gray, University of New Haven criminal justice senior lecturer. Gray says takeovers are a national trend that started out west. He said law enforcement is trying to get a handle on this emerging issue. Quote, the key is to try to get to this before it happens and stop it before the cars get parked and start. Then it becomes impossible to stop once it's underway, Gray said.
I agree. The best thing to do when trying to prevent something is to stop it from happening.
Yeah. You got to check. Two out of three of your precogs have got to...
Yeah.
Good link. You got to check that your precogs are drift compatible.
And you can just completely disregard one of your precogs. That's the beautiful thing about it.
Yeah, that's the minority.
It's Minority Report. Who cares? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who cares? Yeah. Also, and forgive me if I'm just a wet autumn babe, but don't American police have like APCs at this point?
Yeah.
Aren't they just rolling like ex-Gulf War tech?
Yeah.
Or is that just for black people?
I guess like it certainly seems like in a lot of situations... Once there are enough members of the public going, we're just doing this thing now, most of the time, wherever you are in the world, the reaction is to go, well, I guess we kind of just got to kick back on this one unless we want to get completely rolled over, or alternatively, do a massacre, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to clarify, I'm not calling for the second part.
Send in the APCs. Flatten those civilians.
And that's bad, by the way.
Yes. 1,500 cars gathering somewhere is a shitload of cars.
That's a lot of cars.
So many. Do you think people are carpooling, or is that like one person per car?
Oh, my God. Those cars are
one train gathering. Just FYI, if we invest in public transport.
If Connecticut was doing train street takeovers, two trains.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And they're on the rails anyway, where there's no shops.
Yeah. So it's fine. Like,
Two state troopers on one of those hand carts at the state line. Uh-uh. Turn it around. It would be way easier to prevent, wouldn't it?
It's one of those things where you just start seeing, like I've seen a bunch of these news stories pop up, but I'm not really seeing it anywhere else. I'm just seeing it when I'm looking for news in America. But I don't feel like this is, it's just odd. It's odd when things like this, which in a very specific location are like a big phenomenon, but I'm not really seeing it anywhere else.
No, absolutely. This is complete news to me. Someone who's never seen a Fast and the Furious movie and never will.
You guys heard at all about the mysterious dog respiratory illness that's going around the US?
What?
Yes.
Yeah, that one's really fucking me up. They've given it a name temporarily, but they still don't know what it is. So there's this, like, it's happening right across the US. It's affecting, like, heaps of dogs. But it's a mystery severe respiratory illness. And like, I'm just seeing daily news stories about it whenever I'm looking for stuff for the podcast. And they still don't know what it is. It lasts for ages. It's really fucking a bunch of dogs up, and they, yeah, No idea what it fucking is. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Wow.
Yes.
And did they fix the bed bugs in Paris?
Oh, I don't know. I wonder. Yeah, probably.
Or just down to a normal level.
Just regular just levels regular of bed itchy. Bugs that they normally have. Yeah.
Well, all those bees were dying, but that got sorted out. That's far as I know.
Yeah, the sort of insect like mass extinction and stuff. That's all. Well, we got
that. We nipped that one in the bud because otherwise that would be a sign of like impending, like ecosystem collapse for everything else.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't let that happen.
Boring.
Yeah. During the last legislative session, a task force was created to help coordinate the response of different police departments. Some lawmakers want to go further when it comes to potential punishments. They're causing a major disruption to public safety and there's no consequences. And they know, and that's why they're continuing to do it, says Senator Paul Ciccarella, Republican from North Haven.
The sicko.
That's right, Paul Sicko. We reached out to Senate Democrats for comment, but have not yet heard back. Lawmakers have already upped the charge someone could face from taking part in this type of wild driving from a misdemeanor to a felony.
Boo.
Like, imagine you just like hanging out on your front porch in Connecticut and 1,500 cars like roll by. You would be like, oh shit, the Mad Max future has happened.
Be like if Summernats happened in your neighborhood when you really weren't expecting it.
What if someone did an entire Summernats to your house?
Yeah. What if you go out to get the paper and Summernats is out there?
Yeah.
What if you go out to get the paper and someone says, tits out for the boys? What then?
That'd be so disrespectful.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. To be clear, I don't know whether that's part of American car culture, but...
I assume that's sort of a universal part of any, like, large group of men gathered together.
Yeah, there's a word for it in every language.
Yeah.
Right.
Theoretically, we could try and do one more story, but the only one I've got left in the notes is super depressing. So I think we're going to say that that was technically an episode of the podcast, Bunta Vista.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you want more of this,
ask yourself some hard questions.
Yeah. But in case you do, we have bonus episodes. Consider listening to them. I tell you what, the bonus episode we recorded tonight, energy levels were right up there. So high. Incredible. Then it got real hot and sleepy in here.
You did? You're feeling hot and sleepy, bro?
Oh, man. I'm so hot and sleepy right now.
Yeah. Whoa, you should have two beers and lie down.
Could you sleep? I could sleep.
I could sleep so easy. Well, no, not easy because it's too fucking hot in here.
Yeah.
That's it from us. We'll see you in a couple of days maybe or in a week. Who knows? Lovely having you. Stay safe out there. Bye.
Hello.